First part of the second part, question 3. What is happiness? Article 1. Whether happiness is something uncreated. Nothing made is uncreated, but man's happiness is something made, because according to St. Augustine, those things are to be enjoyed which make us happy. Therefore, happiness is not something uncreated. Our end is twofold. First, there is the thing itself which we desire to attain. Thus, for the miser, the end is money. Secondly, there is the attainment or possession, the use or enjoyment of the thing desired. Thus, we may say that the end of the miser is the possession of money, and the end of the intemperate man is to enjoy something pleasurable. In the first sense, then, man's last end is the uncreated good, namely God, who alone by his infinite goodness can perfectly satisfy man's will. But in the second way, man's last end is something created, existing in him, and this is nothing else than the attainment or enjoyment of the last end. Now the last end is called happiness. If therefore we consider man's happiness in its cause or object, then it is something uncreated. But if we consider it as to the very essence of happiness, then it is something created. Article 4. Whether happiness is an operation of the intellect or of the will. Our Lord said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God." Now eternal life is the last end. Therefore man's happiness consists in the knowledge of God, which is an act of the intellect. Two things are needed for happiness, one which is the essence of happiness, the other, that is, as it were, its proper accident, that is, the delight connected with it. I say then that as to the very essence of happiness, it is impossible for it to consist in an act of the will. For it is evident from what has been said that happiness is the attainment of the last end. But the attainment of the end does not consist in the very act of the will, for the will is directed to the end both absent when it desires it, and present when it is delighted by resting therein. Now it is evident that the desire itself of the end is not the attainment of the end, but is a movement towards the end, while delight comes to the will from the end being present, and not conversely is a thing made present by the fact that the will delights in it. Therefore, that the end be present to him who desires it must be due to something else than an act of the will. This is evidently the case in regard to sensible ends, for if the acquisition of money were through an act of the will, the covetous man would have it from the very moment that he wished for it. But at the moment it is far from him, and he attains it by grasping it in his hand or in some like manner, and then he delights in the money got. And so it is with an intelligible end. For at first we desire to attain an intelligible end, then we attain it through its being made present to us by an act of the intellect, and then the delighted will rests in the end when attained. So therefore the essence of happiness consists in an act of the intellect, but the delight that results from happiness pertains to the will. In this sense, St. Augustine says that happiness is joy in truth, because, to wit, joy itself is the consummation of happiness. Article 8. Whether man's happiness consists in the vision of the divine essence. It is written in 1 John 3:2, "When he shall appear, we shall be like to him, and we shall see him as he is." Final and perfect happiness can consist in nothing else than the vision of the divine essence. To make this clear, two points must be observed. First, that man is not perfectly happy so long as something remains for him to desire and seek. Second, that the perfection of any power is determined by the nature of its object. Now the object of the intellect is what a thing is, that is, the essence of a thing, according to Aristotle in the De Anima. Wherefore the intellect attains perfection insofar as it knows the essence of a thing. If therefore an intellect knows the essence of some effect, whereby it is not possible to know the essence of the cause, that intellect cannot be said to reach that cause simply, although it may be able to gather from the effect the knowledge of the fact that the cause is. Consequently, when man knows an effect, and knows that it has a cause, there naturally remains in the man the desire to know about the cause what it is. And this desire is one of wonder, and causes inquiry, as is stated in the beginning of the Metaphysics. For instance, if a man knowing the eclipse of the sun consider that it must be due to some cause, and know not what the cause is, he wonders about it, and from wondering proceeds to inquire. Nor does this inquiry cease until he arrive at a knowledge of the essence of the cause. If therefore the human intellect, knowing the essence of some created effect, knows no more of God than that he exists, the perfection of that intellect does not yet reach simply the first cause, but there remains in it the natural desire to seek the cause. Wherefore it is not yet perfectly happy. Consequently, for perfect happiness, the intellect needs to reach the very essence of the first cause, and thus it will have its perfection through union with God, as with that object in which alone man's happiness consists.